everybody. I would like to say a special thank you to Angela. She was at a conference. She left Thursday, and the conference got over late last night. And instead of getting a hotel, she figured, I'll just go ahead and go straight to the airport and flew in. You left at like midnight and yes. got here. When did you fly in today?
Hung out at the airport and then flight boarded at 5:55 a.m.
This morning. And she's here. That is dedication, people. And you are welcome. I don't know about you, but I have my email is on Yahoo. So in order to get to my email, I have to go to the Yahoo page. And every once in a while, if I feel strong enough, I'll read some of the articles that are in the Yahoo page. I usually don't make it very far. And there are a lot of times I read the headline, and it's their job to grab you and get you to click on it so that you will read it. And a lot of times I will read the title of an article and go, wait, what? And then I'll have to look at it and then go in and I'll see another, wait, what? I don't know if you notice, but there's a lot of wait what's in our world today. And that's my title, is wait, what? Did I miss something? Did they really mean to say that? Or is that really happening in our world? And I want to share a couple of stories, just quick stories about a couple of pastors. Because you know, on Yahoo, whenever they're mentioning a pastor, they're lifting him up and saying he's an incredible man of God and we thank him for his service to his people. No. That's not what usually happens when they bring up a pastor. And so I have, I lean towards reading about what other pastors are up to. And because I want to be like other pastors. So I read this one article on this pastor in Kansas City, and he got on TikTok and basically lambasted his people, and it was during a service. And he was angry because they would not buy him a Movado watch. Well, first of all, I had to Google Movado watch because I have never heard of a Movado watch. Well, these watches go anywhere from $300 to $3,000. And this pastor got up in front of his congregation and his fellowship and his family and, I quote, called them disgusting, poor wretches because they would not buy him the Movado watch that he wanted. And during the video, some of the people were clapping. And I'm like, you people need to get out of that church, because something's wrong. And he was like, I deserve it, da-da-da-da-da. And I started flipping through my Bible, and I never saw where Jesus did that. You see, we're supposed to be followers of Jesus Christ. And we are shepherds of the flock. That does not sound like a good shepherd to me. Then I read another story. And the headline was, pastor is robbed of $1 million in jewelry. And I went, well, this sounds interesting. So I read the story, and then I went, wait, what? I thought maybe he had $1 million worth of jewelry in his home in a safe, and they drove and they robbed him of it out of his home. No. They robbed it from him and his wife on a Sunday morning. That's the amount of jewelry they were wearing. $1 million That's 500,000 apiece for you math challenged people. I was like, what? Wait, what? If you try to rob me of my jewelry, you ain't getting nothing. Zip, nada. I don't even wear my wedding ring anymore because I had shoulder surgery and I had to get it off. And they says, well, if you don't get that thing off, we're going to have to cut it off. No, don't cut it. But I have never put it back on because I got fat knuckles. And I'm a little bit bigger than I was when I got married. Just like 4 pounds is all. So yeah, you go on any page, I don't care who it is, and you're gonna run into, wait, what? And so I wanted to talk about our culture a little bit, and this message is probably gonna ruffle some feathers, but there's a lot of wait what out there, and there's a lot of voices speaking into our heads, telling us what's right and what's wrong. What's okay? What's not okay? What's truth? What's false? I watch very, very, very little of local or national news. Because this is like, wait, what? Well, on Crem 2, they have a thing called Verify. And they are the end all as far as truth. Well, we heard about this, and so we're going to verify it for you. And oftentimes I watch their verify and their facts and all that, and I go, wait, what? I have a hard time when a media is telling me what's right and what's wrong. And a lot of Christians believe the media, and they believe political parties because they don't know what the scriptures say. A lot of times I go, wait, what? So I'm going to show you a few pictures here. Can we just have the first picture, please? All right. Anybody tell me what that is? It's a fish. Can we all agree that this is a fish? All right, next picture, please. It's a giraffe, right? People are like, I don't want to say it out loud because I might be wrong. We can all agree that that is a giraffe, correct? All right, let's go on to the next one. If that is a cat, then I'm officially a cat lover today. And we need to talk afterwards. It's a dog, it's a puppy, correct? All right, next picture, please. There's your cat. I swear, when we go on trips or whatever, and I would see a horse in a pasture or something as we're driving by, I go, moo, just to drive my kids nuts. And if I saw a cow, I go, horsey, nay. And they just shake their hand or their head. It's like, what? What is wrong with you, Dad? That's you, Brandon. But I am not a cat person. Are there cat people here? Okay, I'm going to be very careful on what I say. Because everyone comes to me and says, oh, you would love my cat. I have only met 2 cats that I ever liked. And you know why I liked them? Because they thought they were dogs. And I think Roger had the worst cat. That cat had a demon, Roger. That cat, they went to California and we watched that cat. We fed it. And am I right? That cat had a demon.
The dog protected me from the cat.
Yes. Exactly. Anyway, I went in to feed him. And he was really good. When he heard the door open, he'd go to a strategic place and hide. And he would wait till you walked past him, and then he would attack your ankles. I'm not kidding. And the only person that cat liked was Roger. Everyone else got the wrath of the demon cat. And so I'm not a cat person. I love dogs. You know why? Because they love you unconditionally. Cats love you when you open a can of tuna. Otherwise, it's leave me alone. I'll come when I want to come. You just leave me alone, and everyone goes, "No, oh, my cat is such a good kitty." Probably not. But the two cats that I really enjoyed, they acted like dogs. I was doing a job once up at a Roger and Beth Williamson's house, and they had a cat, and they're outdoor cats. This cat had a litter, and there was one brown-colored little kitten that really didn't hang around with the rest of the other kittens. When I was working in the garage, he would follow me into the garage. And he'd follow me around and just, you know, not doing that nasty wrap thing around your ankles thing that cats do to only people that don't like cats. But this cat, I was measuring a board, and the cat would jump up onto the saw table that I had set up, and I would put the thing on there, and I'd stretch the tape measure across, and he would go over there and lift it off. It's like, and then he would chase it as it came across. And I go, "You little stinker." And I'd go back over and do it again. And he just followed me where, and he was the coolest cat. Because he wasn't a cat. And then Beth ran over him. Yeah, I have never forgiven her to this day. Although I'm a pastor, I have to. But yeah, the only cat, I was looking, I called him Brownie because he was brown. I said, "Where's Brownie?" And she just got this death look on her face. I ran him over. I said, "No, really, where is he?" She did. She ran him over. But I'm not a big dog person. But you know what? Those cats that acted like dogs, even though I recognized them as dogs, didn't change the fact that they were cats. Yeah. We all agreed. We showed a picture of the cat. That's a cat. Why? Well, because that's what a cat looks like. That's a dog. That's a giraffe. That's a fish. We can agree on those things, but we live in a culture now where it's like, wait, what? Wait, what? So I'm going to go, and we're going to look at truth today. We're going to look at truth. And the Webster's Dictionary says that truth is the true or actual state of a matter, an obvious and accepted fact. When I showed you those pictures, that was actually in truth a fish and a giraffe and a dog and a cat. That was truth. However, we live in a culture that says that sometimes truth is defined in modern context as an idea of like truth to self. Or truth the way you see it. So like Brandon, he probably really did believe that that dog was a cat. No, he didn't. But if he did, first of all, he's delusional. But that would be his truth. Correct? So we live in a culture that says, your truth may be different than my truth. I saw a cat. He said he saw a dog. Now, I know he was just kidding. I'm not that stupid. But we live in a culture that likes to define things according to whatever you believe to be true. There are varying stances on such questions as what constitutes truth and whether truth can be subjective or if it is objective. In other words, we are told that there is relative truth and not absolute truth. Relative truth is depends on the person, depends on the circumstances, depends on what they feel, their emotions, whatever. That is relative truth, how it relates to you. There is also something described as absolute truth. It's truth. It stands on its own. It never changes. And relative truth and absolute truth sometimes butt heads. Amen? So we're going to take a look in the Bible at a couple of different teachings that we can glean from. In John chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. And this is when Jesus is before Pilate, and he's asking him some questions. And Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews? Is that your own idea," Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." And finally, Pilate retorts, "What is truth? What is truth?" You see, in verse 33, it says, Pilate went back inside and summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Pilate wanted to know the truth. He wanted to know, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Because that is the accusations that they are bringing against you. And you know, if he had said, "Yes, I am the king of the Jews," then he would have been held for treason against the Romans and against the emperor, because there was only one king. So he's asking, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He wants to know. And is that, he says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he says, "I want to know. I want to know what's true here." And then in verse 34, Jesus says, "Is that your own idea?" He's saying, is that what you believe? Is that what you think is true? Before I answer, I want to know, do you believe that this is true? And then he goes on to say, "Or did others talk to you about me?" Is that what you believe, or is that what you are being told is the truth? And there's a big difference. There are a lot of people in America that believe something is true simply because they were told that it is true by certain organizations, by certain news companies, by certain stations, by certain people. For some reason, Americans will believe a celebrity about whatever. "Oh, you know, Sean Penn said it." "Oh, okay. There's a great bastion of truth for you." "Oh, Miley Cyrus said." "Oh, great." Yet we have a tendency to believe celebrities and follow them. Why do you think politicians gather celebrities around them when they're running for office? Because a lot of people will vote for someone just because Bon Jovi sang at some inaugural thing, or some fundraiser, or Toby Keith, or whatever. See, we have a tendency to follow, the majority have a tendency to follow other people and believe whatever they say is true. And Jesus says, do you believe that is true, or are other people saying that this is true? Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. This is when God has created everything, and he has created man, and he is sitting down with Adam, and he is saying, "Okay, here, look, here's the guidelines. I'm putting you in this garden. Here are the orders or the commands that I'm giving you. Here is how I want you to do this." Does God have a right to tell Adam how he is to take care of this place? Yes, he does. Why? Because it's his. He created it. He gets to make the rules. So it says in verse 16 and 17, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" You have free run of this entire place, except for one thing you can't do. Don't eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. That's it. The rest of them, go ahead. Any of you ever had toddlers around? If you can tell them, you can play with all of these things, just don't touch that. What are they going to do? Touch. My granddaughter is 13 months old. She already does it. She didn't have to learn it. It's ingrained in us to be mischievous, to disobey, to go against the rules. We don't have to learn it. We've inherited that gene. Because I never taught Paisley, "Okay, Paisley, when I tell you don't touch anything, then that's when you look at me and then go over and touch it." And she does it slowly. You go, "No." And then she goes, "Ah!" But this is God. God talking to Adam. "Don't touch that." "Okay, got it. Yep, uh-huh." So let's go. The word commanded in the Hebrew is tzavah. Tzavah. And it means to command, to charge, or to give orders. So God gave him the list of to do, what to do and not to do. If you've ever had anybody watch your house, here's a list of the things that go ahead and eat this and help yourself to the fridge and do this, and we have this. We need you to water the plants and da-da-da-da-da. We give them a list, right? We don't expect them to come in and go, "Oh, you know what to do. Take care of it." No, we give them a list. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. But God gives Adam a list. Amen? So let's jump ahead to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.'" "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. We're going to break this down, because this is how the enemy operates. This is how the enemy operated in the beginning of time. And he has not changed his ways. He may change the means by which he delivers them, but he's the same old enemy of your soul. Same old tricks, and he did it here with Adam and Eve. And in verse 1, it said, "Did God really say you must not eat, or you cannot eat of the fruit?" Satan is not questioning whether it is true. He's trying to get Eve to believe that it's not true. Did God really say that? Well, what's interesting, when God delivers that, he delivered it to Adam. Eve was not around yet. So obviously, when Eve showed up, Adam said, "Okay, here are the rules. God gave me these rules. We have to abide by these rules right here." So he shows up and he asks Eve, did you hear God say that? Or is that what Adam said that God said. And I'm sure she had to go, you know, I didn't hear God say that. That came from Adam. Maybe he misunderstood. Maybe his hearing wasn't that good. Because I've seen the fruit on that tree, and it looks amazing. So he gets her to question truth. And this truth is an absolute truth, not a relative truth. It is absolute. God said it, that's it. So he gets her to question whether or not that is true. So she says, you know, we're not supposed to do, we can eat of the fruit of the trees, we can do all this and that. But God did say, so she gives her own account of the law that was given by God. She knows what's right and what's wrong, even though the enemy is trying to get her to doubt it. And she says, you know what? If we do eat of it, we will die. In verse 4, he says, you will not die. You're not going to die. A flat-out lie, 100%. Satan declares that it is not truth and that there will be no danger of penalty. Nothing's going to happen to you if you do this. Nothing is going to go wrong. You're not going to die. You'll be fine. And he said, goes on to say, in fact, when you eat of it, you will gain knowledge. If you believe this new truth, your situation is going to be for the better. Forget about the absolute truth of God. You get to develop your own, because you're going to be wiser when you go against God's ways. See how he's working here? And when you do it, things are going to get better for you. You're going to be wiser. You're going to be smarter in all that you do. And why would you let him tell you how to live your life? Because when you do it according to your ways, it's going to be easier and it's going to be a lot better. Sound familiar? I know you guys have never struggled with this, but I have, because Jim wants to do what Jim wants to do. And in my younger and dumber years, Jim did what Jim wanted to do. And it got me into a lot of trouble. I went through a lot of heartache and pain because I was doing things my way and not God's way. You see, when you do things your way and it goes against God's way, you're headed for a lot of trouble. And there ain't nothing good down that road. That road that might be fun for a while, but sooner or later, you got to pay the piper. Amen? He says, when you eat of it, and in verse 5, he says, you will be like God. Not only won't you have to pay a penalty, but you're going to be just like God. You get to decide your own rules. You get to decide what is truth. You get to decide. Nobody else can tell you what your truth is. And this whole time, it did not change what God said was true. She may believe that it wasn't true, but it didn't change the fact that it was truth. You see, we have a lot of people in this country that believe certain things and believe that it is truth and that God is not truth, but it doesn't change the fact that he has everything. He's created everything. Everything is his. He's created everything for his own benefit. So what I believe about it doesn't matter. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter what I believe to be truth. And I can live my life believing my own truth. But there is a day of reckoning. There is a reckoning coming. When you stand before God and go, I don't believe your truth. You see, I've had a lot of people say, you know what? How could a loving God send someone to hell? Charles Spurgeon says there is not one person in inhabiting hell that was sent there by God. Not one. God allows you to make a choice to love Him or to reject Him. And the people that you are in hell and going to hell are those who will reject Him to their last dying breath. God doesn't send anybody to hell. We write our own ticket. But we have a loving God that sent His only Son to die on a cross so that we could be reconciled to Him. He says, this is the payment. I'm making the payment for you. When we first sinned, we deserved death, the death penalty. We have to pay with our life. And God says, no, I'm sending my Son to make that payment for you. St. Augustine said it's the great exchange. He's taking our worthless record and say, hey, give me your worthless record. I'll give you my Son's perfect record. And we'll just do an exchange here. He made the payment. He made it so that we can live in eternity with our Creator. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. The rebellion of Adam and Eve was not so much a rebellion against what God said was right and wrong, or what God said was truth. They wanted to decide what was right and wrong, or what was truth. When God decided what was right and wrong, there was peace and there was harmony on earth. After man tried to decide what was right and wrong, the relationship between man and God was severed, and the relationship between man and woman, or between mankind, became chaos. When we try to decide what is right and what is wrong, and completely ignore God's ultimate truth, we live in chaos. We live in, wait, what? And I don't know if you've ever noticed, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. And if you write anything down or leave with anything from today, leave with this. Truth is truth, and it'll be up there. It stands alone. It doesn't care what you think of it, whether you believe in it or disagree with it. Truth never changes. It doesn't care what you think. I've heard people say, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in hell. That doesn't change the fact that that's truth. That might be your truth. But your truth doesn't trump God's truth. There are a lot of people inhabiting hell that didn't believe that hell existed. You see, when you create your own universe, go ahead and make up the rules. When you create your own stars and moon and universe and hang a sun out there and make sure that the atmosphere is conducive to keeping mankind alive, and when you place the moon just far enough away that it controls the tides, not too close, not too far, when you create all of the creatures, each according to their own kind, and then you create your own humans, you get to decide. But until then, God's already done that. Jesus says, if you love me, you obey me. Simple as that. You see, when we see fish and everyone agrees that it's a fish, there may come a time when not everyone can agree. Well, what if that fish feels like a badger? Then it's no longer a fish, it's a badger. No, it's still a fish. What if that giraffe wants to be an eel? No, it's still a giraffe. It could shave its body and paint it gray and attach an electrode to itself so it could shock people. It's still a giraffe. And God created that giraffe in an incredibly miraculous way. Truth is truth. We live in a culture that's trying to change truth and get further and further from God each and every day. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians are falling into that trap. Well, what about? Well, what about? Well, what about? No, truth is truth. Stands alone. Doesn't care what you think of it. Doesn't care whether you believe in it or not. Doesn't care if you disagree with it. It never changes. It never changes. And I guarantee you, there's not a lot of pastors out there preaching God's truth, that we are all doomed without the blood that was shed, that we are to live our lives according to His will and His purposes and His plans, that we don't get to choose. You can go ahead and choose, but there's still a reckoning coming. And when you choose a path or a life that goes against how God created you at your core, you will be miserable. Absolutely miserable. Because you're not walking in His ways and His purposes and His plans. God knew what He was doing when He created each and every person. Created them the way He wanted them to be. But His truth is still truth, no matter what you think of it. And when we can walk in that truth, that's when we're fulfilled. That's when we walk in peace, in shalom, with our Heavenly Father. You know why the majority of Americans are angry and bitter and unforgiving and finger-pointing and this and nasty and da-da-da-da-da? Because they don't have peace with their Creator. And if you're a Christian and you are a bitter, angry person, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Because when we are connected with the Father, we have that peace. We have that love from Him. We reciprocate that love back to Him. And it gives us the ability to love others around us. When we run up against somebody who is living according to their own truth, what do? You love them. You love them. Because God first loved us. We have the capacity to love Him, and we love our neighbors. It's one of the greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is almost as great. Love your neighbor. And there's no asterisk next to it. Love your neighbor as long as you believe the same way that they believe. Not in there. Love your neighbor as long as they vote the same way that you vote. Not in there. Love your neighbor as long as they live the same kind of lifestyle that you live. Not in there. So you can throw out all of them and bunch them all together. Every person that ever took taken a breath, that is our neighbor. And we are to love them. We are to treat them with respect and treat them with honor. Not always easy to do. Because I don't know if you've noticed, if you're a Christian, we kind of have targets on our backs. From Hollywood, the media, certain politicians, we seem to have different rules applied to us than to other people. And we get labeled fascists, Nazis, ignorant, hateful. You know what? When we love our neighbor, we prove them wrong. We prove them wrong. I've had some people say, I've never met a Christian like you because you're nice to everybody. Well, you know what? That's what my Bible says. That's the representation that we're supposed to have in the world as Christians. Because we're representing our Heavenly Father, are we not? That's our job. Love God, love one another. But remember, His truth trumps all other truth. So when you have other doctrines coming into the church that go against God's written word, it's false doctrine. There's God's truth and there's man's truth. Which one are you going to follow? Because ultimately, that is a huge decision that we all have to make on our own. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to follow God. When it gets difficult, we're going to follow Him. When other people attack you, we're going to follow Him. My daughters don't live at home anymore. So it's, as far as me and my house, it's Belinda and I. But you know what? When the little grandkids come over to the house, they hear as much as they can understand, as much as they can take in. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And thank God I've got two daughters and two son-in-laws that are believers. It would be very difficult if that were not the case. But as a grandparent, it's your job to cover those kids in prayer, in protection. Because there's a world out there and an enemy out there that wants to chew them up and spit them out. Truth is truth. Amen? We have enough wait what's in our world. Don't let the scriptures be a wait what for you. His truth will endure forever. It will never, ever change. In fact, it says it's the only thing, His word is the only thing that's going to survive. Amen? Please stand. To bow your head, close your eyes. And if you've never heard this message before, you've never known that there is a payment due when we sin against God. And you've never understood why Jesus had to come and die and shed His blood on the cross. And now you have understanding. Now you understand that it's the payment that God has allowed for us to make us righteous. When we don't deserve it. Because of His love. And because He wants so much to be reconciled with His children. If you've never made that declaration, you've never accepted that payment, today, let today be the day. If you believe in your heart that
Jesus came and that he died for you. And you want to accept that great exchange. You want to accept that payment that comes simply through grace. And I just want you to slip your hand up in the air. This is between you and God. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands. I thank you for that grace. I thank you that you have given us your word to reveal who you are, to reveal your mercy and the love that you have for your creation. You have given us your word to show us how we are to live our lives. You have given us your word to correct us, to guide us, to teach us to become more and more like your Son. Lord, help us to know your word. Help us to know your truth so that we are not led astray by bad doctrine, by false teachers, by absolute lies of the enemy. Help us, Lord, to live more and more in shalom with you. Because when that relationship is right, we can handle everything that life throws at us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of your Son and for who you are. What you've already done in our lives and what you're going to do, we say thank you. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.